When you think about what's in your trash, banana peels, old socks, used electronic equipment, it's hard to believe that these items might be of any use again. Although the idea of turning trash into usable energy is far from new, up until now, most of the ways that it has been achieved were either too expensive, inefficient, or bad for the environment. But a company in California called Sierra Energy is taking municipal waste, raw sewage, and other unlikely energy sources and turning them into fuel. Their waste-to-energy system called Fast Ox Pathfinder was even recently purchased by the U.S. Defense Department in an effort to reduce oil consumption. Mike Hart is president and CEO of Sierra Energy, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
What does the Fast Ox Pathfinder look like?
It looks sort of like a large hot water heater. Nothing particularly exciting. It's a little bit larger than a phone booth, and that's the one we've been demonstrating with the Department of Defense at their Renewable Energy Testing Center out here in California for the last 4 years.
Will it work with any kind of trash?
Yeah, so far everything we've put through it, which includes all kinds of medical waste, hazardous waste, electronic waste, just straight garbage. We've run just about everything. And by the way, it's dried sewage, not just simply, you're not just turning the spigot on and dropping a raw sewage directly in, but you dewater it first. And we can handle about 60% moisture.
And how does it work? What's gasification?
Well, I'll tell you the secret how it works. Basically, what we're doing is we're taking a blast furnace from the steel industry. And the way a blast furnace works is you blast in hot air at the bottom of a big metal tube lined with refractory. When you blast in that air and you throw in carbon, they react and you get carbon and oxygen. The oxygen in the air react and you get a really nice heat, 4,000-plus degrees Fahrenheit, which then reduces the iron ore, and that's how you get metal out of a blast furnace. What we've done is the inventors came up with the idea of cutting out the nitrogen in air. And as you know, nitrogen is about 80% of air. So by getting rid of that and just injecting the pure oxygen, instead of a junky pollutant coming out of the top of the blast furnace, instead you end up with a medium BTU synthesis gas. And synthesis gas, by the way, is 70% carbon monoxide, which is a fuel, and 30% H2, or hydrogen. So you end up with this nice synthesis gas that you can then use to make electricity, you can make ethanol, you could make diesel, or you can make pure hydrogen. In other words, shift it all to being nothing but hydrogen. And that bodes really well for the future of the hydrogen economy.
Although you don't want to breathe in any carbon monoxide.
That would be bad.
In a recent article in the New York Times, you were quoted as saying that if all goes to plan, one day garbage will be a commodity. Are we talking about everything? What about things that contain heavy metals?
Sure. Bear in mind, this is a blast furnace, and it's designed to recover metals. So only three things come out of our gasifier. The top is that synthesis gas that I was talking about. The bottom, a liquid metal pours out. So that means, let's say you were just throwing in regular garbage. Typically, as much as 10% of garbage can be metal. And so that means all of those metals, no matter how hard you try to recycle it, no matter how many pick lines you put out there in front of it, you always end up with metal still being in your trash. This allows it to be completely recycled. The trash melts. You end up with liquid metal separating out by gravity being poured out the bottom. Everything else that comes out of it, and typically it's about 30% of the total weight of the garbage you put in, comes out as a liquid slag. Now, this is not incineration. Incineration is burning at a very low temperature, and that uses air with all that nitrogen and all the junky pollutants coming out of the top. But in addition, they can't melt the ash that's in waste. And that leftover is about 30%. And in an incinerator, what happens is that either comes out the top and is blown all over everybody's houses or into their lungs, or it has to be shoveled out the bottom. And that ash is a toxic waste that still has to be landfilled. In our case, it's liquid, and it comes out as like lava. And you can make that into a road base. You actually make rock out of it. And it's certified. We've taken it out to labs and proven that it's certified non-leachable. which means that whatever nasties might, let's say sulfur, for example, might be locked up in that rock, doesn't come out again, even when you tumble it with acid rain equivalent. So it's a rock. You can use it for road base. So there's nothing but usable products that come out of the waste using our process.
How are the gases, the hydrogen and the carbon monoxide, made into fuel?
Sure. There's a very, very long established technology called Fischer-Tropsch. And what that is a way of taking gas. The original processors used the process to take coal. And they heated it up, turned it into a gas, and then they ran that gas they reacted it, and in the presence of a catalyst, it turns into a liquid fuel, in this case, diesel. There are other processes where you can take that same syngas and turn it into ethanol. Just to give you some numbers, if you took a ton of just conventional garbage, you can make 42 gallons of diesel. To give you an idea of how clean that diesel is, it's 20 times cleaner than the California fuel standard, because you're not starting with all the junk coming out of the ground in typical oil. You're starting with just two gases, carbon monoxide and hydrogen. So the resulting liquid is extraordinarily clean.
So does that answer a question from a caller who wonders about the widespread opposition to waste-to-energy technology on the grounds that it might overshadow the development of cleaner practices and new technologies?
Let me just give you one other number, by the way, before I answer that. The other thing is that you could make about 100 kilograms of hydrogen, and you can make that hydrogen for about 50 cents a kilogram. So that means one ton of garbage equals 100 kilograms of hydrogen. Each kilogram of hydrogen is the equivalent of energy equivalent of about 2 gallons of gasoline. So this is a proven technology. There's nothing even remotely exciting about this as far as the process. And what that means is 25 cent a gallon equivalent for zero emission gasoline using hydrogen. And those cars already exist. So in answer to what the caller's question was, is are there cleaner processes out there? Well, right now, the cutting edge, people that are out there really trying to do something about waste, generally, most cities that have a good diversion and recycling program get about 50%. In other words, you can divert about 50% of your waste, and that's your glass, plastic, paper, metals. You know, a good recycling program should get at least 50%. There's also a thing called anaerobic digestion. That's not what our company does, but there are a lot of companies that are doing a lot of cutting-edge work in anaerobic digestion. And what they do is they take the wet food waste, sort of the yard trimmings, food waste, and things like that. That's called the wet segment. Generally, they can capture about 30% of the total waste stream. So that is a city with the absolute best practices. For example, San Francisco, that considers itself on the absolute outer edge of successful recycling. That's 80%. The other 20%, there's nothing anybody can do with it, and they still haul it away and dump it into a landfill. We think that's unconscionable. The right answer is gasify it, turn it to clean energy, turn it into fuels, or turn it into clean electricity. In our case, our electricity comes out with a lower emission profile than natural gas. So,
I'm speaking to Mike Hart, who is president and CEO of Sierra Energy. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. How did you get into the energy production business? Didn't it all start when you bought a small railroad line?
Yeah, I own three railroads in California. When I get the fourth, I guess I get to double rents. But I have railroads in Northern California. And back in 2001, we were the first railroad in the world to operate on 100% biodiesel. And so we demonstrated that you can run locomotives on biodiesel. The problem is that biodiesel at the time was made from food. In other words, you take soybeans and you turn that into biodiesel. I personally didn't feel that was a sustainable model. And so I started looking for other ways to make biodiesel, or make diesel basically, from something that didn't come from people's mouths and are not taking food away from other people. And that's when we hit on this concept of using trash.
And you met Chris Kasten, who's the patent holder for the Fastox?
Actually, he's not. We're the patent holder. But I met Chris Kasten. He's the grandson of the inventor. Mm-hmm. And I'm a judge for UC Davis's business school's competition. It's called the Big Bang Competition, where innovative business ideas are brought forward. and judged, and there's a prize and such that's given. And this was the winning technology. I decided I had to have it, so I ended up buying the company back in 2003.
Now, you mentioned working with the Defense Department. How soon will you be supplying energy to the Fort Hunter Liggett training base in Monterey?
We expect next year.
Will you be the sole energy provider?
No. They also have a tremendous array of solar that they've done a brilliant job putting together. They also have a number of other innovative strategies that they're doing there at the base. They are going to be the first base in the United States that's going to have both zero energy footprint. So in other words, they don't need to import any power to the base, but also they're going to be zero waste, which means they're not going to export any waste from their base. We certainly are going to play a significant role in that happening.
You told the New York Times that you've got 150 cities, communities, and businesses lined up to adopt the FastOX once someone else goes first. First of all, why the hesitation? And second of all, will Fort Hunter Liggett Training Base be seen as that test?
Yeah, it was 150 before the New York Times article. I'd say it's about doubled since then. But we've been inundated with cities that are looking for a solution. And the truth of the matter is that I wouldn't if you're a small community, you want to do something better than what you're doing right now. You're throwing trash into a hole in the ground. And remember, for every ton of garbage you throw into a landfill, it creates the equivalent of more than one ton of greenhouse gas. And so any responsible city absolutely should be looking for an alternative to landfills today. Anybody who's not is making a horrific mistake. And so these communities are all looking for an answer. And the problem is that they see our technology and go, that's exactly what we're looking for. But they don't want to take a risk on a technology well proven at a pilot scale. They want to see that it's been operating on regular waste day in and day out, creating power with no difficulties. And so they want to be prudent. They want to take that, you know, they want to be cautious. And so everybody is looking now to the Department of Defense, which is absolutely the leading government agency in energy innovation. There is no other agency in federal government that comes close to the DoD at this point.
It's also the largest user of energy in the United States, isn't it?
Absolutely true.
Now, how many FastOX Pathfinders would be necessary to take care of the kind of trash that a city like New York has on a daily basis? Or is this not really appropriate for a city with as much trash as we have?
New York generates roughly 30,000 tons of trash a day. I think that's the most recent number I heard. You could do that in a single gasifier. You have to recall that we come from the steel industry. There are existing blast furnaces on the eastern seaboard right now. In fact, there are closed ones that are more than big enough just by converting using our technology to take all of New York's waste in a single vessel. 30,000 tons isn't really that much.
Have you spoken to Mike Bloomberg?
No. We're focused very narrowly on working with the DoD on our project. But we're not a project developer. We're not looking to go out and build projects for people. We're a small company. We've focused on developing just the gasifier. And we will license it to folks that are interested in solving those kind of problems. But 30,000 tons a day is not even remotely out of the range of a single gasifier. Now, obviously, because of multiple redundancies, taking things down for maintenance, and also just the sheer logistics of handling 30,000 tons of anything, you'd probably have multiple vessels. But I'm just saying that in the scheme of things, a blast furnace, the big ones like Beth Steel or U.S. Steel or any of the big ones, any one of those can handle all of New York's waste using our technology very easily. So it's the matter of how do you move 30,000 tons of waste from, you know, where it's generated to a place where you can put a gasifier. We did a study for the city of San Francisco just a couple of months ago, and they generate about 1,500 tons a day of waste. I believe the cost of the complete system was in the, about $100 million range. And based on just current power prices and their tip fee, they would recover their entire investment in less than 1 year.
Mike Hart is president and CEO of Sierra Energy. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for the opportunity.